Hello. This is Gianna.
And I'm Mark.
And welcome back to the podcast.
Last week, we talked about building your MVP, how to start a business, and how to make it grow with the minimum viable product. This week, we're talking about
crucial conversations. So before even diving into this conversation, we wanted to lay out a disclaimer. We understand that crucial conversations falls underneath the umbrella of communication. And we both know communication sounds like it would be really easy, but it's actually so difficult. And I think something that oftentimes we don't think about that makes it difficult is the fact that everyone communicates differently. Everyone has their own way of how they prefer someone to speak to them, whether it's the words they're using, tonality, things like that, to just even the things that are nonverbal, just like how someone's body language exudes like what they want to say.
Exactly.
So we want to make sure that's like at the forefront of your mind as we start talking about these things, because like I said, everyone communicates differently. Like I know for myself, as soon as you start yelling at me, like if I make a mistake, I'm already having this inner dialogue that's kind of beating myself up. So what happens when someone starts yelling at me is that actually shuts me down. Whereas there was a time when I was on a team and there was a girl on the team that she was the complete opposite. Like if she made a mistake or something, she wanted to be motivated. If you yelled at her, that was the way to go. She wanted you just like in her face, aggressive and yelling, and that got her fired up and ready to do the next thing. So again, keep in mind, like communication is difficult and crucial conversations aren't any different.
That's actually why we chose the topic of conversation today, because it's something that I'm continuously working on and kind of simultaneously also trying to avoid, because in a crucial conversation, you're engaged in a dialogue. You're talking with somebody who's probably got a different opinion. The stakes are high in the conversation and emotions can run high too. And you might be planning that conversation, or it might be something that you just fall into. And there's a number of ways you can do that. But before we start talking about that, we want you to know that we hope you take one thing today with you and give it a try after we finish our conversation, and that we're still learning too. We're by no means experts, so you get to do this journey with us.
Exactly.
So what's a crucial conversation is when you're in like I said, your opinion varies, the stakes are high, and your emotions can run high. So let's go over a couple of situations that could happen in.
So something like that could be you're on the job and you need to manage up. So somebody might say, like, what is managing up? It would be like you're in the position where you have someone that's in the hierarchy above you, and maybe they could be doing things differently in order to benefit the overall organization, and you have an idea of how to do that. But that could get tricky, that could get dicey, especially if, you know, your organization has been doing something the same way for so long. Trying to interject a new idea actually could stir the pot. So there's a way that you could approach that conversation in a way that doesn't put someone on guard and really starts to put you on track to maybe get those new ideas accomplished or at least discussed. So managing up can be tough.
Managing up can be tough. Talking to a loved one can be tough.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's see. So there's all sorts of different work situations. There's, you know, talking to a child might be a difficult thing to do. Talking to any sort of loved one, a brother, a sister, and it doesn't just have to be a one-on-one conversation. It can be a group conversation too.
Right. And, you know, I also often find times when you start to hesitate to have a conversation, that's when you kind of know you're entering into a crucial conversation. Whether it's, you know, you maybe need to admit that you made a mistake so you can write that, or maybe you have disappointing news. Or, again, going back to those differing opinions that can put you in a crucial conversation. So I'm sure that we've all been able to identify a time where you were about to embark on one of those talks. Comment below. Send us a shout out. Like, maybe you had a crucial conversation this past week or this past month. Share with us what that crucial conversation is. We'd love to hear them. But in the meantime,
we're going to give you some tools to help you manage that in the future. So by no means are we experts, and a lot of the advice that I'll be covering with you today comes from a book, and hopefully you can see that up on the screen now. The book itself is called Crucial Conversations, so if you want continued learning, education, definitely make sure you go check that out. So the first thing that we're going to do, and we can actually add that then in the comments below too, if you didn't get to see that. The first thing you're going to do when you're thinking about having a crucial conversation, before you even get to this high stakes thing, is you want to get everybody's opinion out into what they say is the zone of reason. And that means that everybody is sharing their ideas. There are no bad ideas. You're simply searching for information so that you can come up with a great solution. In doing so, you're going to get everybody's buy-in because they feel like their voice has been heard. And they're then therefore part of the solution. So they're easy. You're all on the same side. So get everybody's opinion out in the zone of reason and do that without judgment.
Yeah, I think a way to approach entering into talks like this is to come in with an open mind, not come in with your own solid answers and solutions, but come in wanting to learn something new. And you can do that by just starting out with, you have questions maybe that you want to ask other people that are within the group or the other person that you're talking to one-on-one, to get a sense of understanding. So you want to come from a place of understanding, not necessarily from a place of there is this right and wrong.
Right, there's a reason that that person is like sitting grumpily over, is grumpily a word?
It can be today.
All right, cool, let's go with it. They're grumpy, they're in the corner, their arms are folded, they're not paying attention, it looks like they're on their phone. Think about how you can engage that person. You know, say that, you know, you've shared your opinions and you'd like to hear their opinions, and that's a judgment-free zone. And then there's different tools you can use to get them to open up. But you want to make sure that there aren't people sort of like locked up or sitting quietly. Or maybe you know that one of your coworkers tends to talk a lot, and that's easy for other people to fall into silence. So make sure that everybody has had their chance to be heard.
Yeah, I really love that.
So, and then when you see, when you do start seeing a person locking up, it's not, you want to make sure it's not, they know it's not just a my way or the highway situation. So first you're getting everybody to pay attention, you're getting everybody to share their thoughts and ideas, and then you're going to move from there with your heart. So think about for that moment. Where your heart is and what you want to accomplish. What do you want from this conversation with that person or this group of people? And use that as your guiding star. So every time the conversation starts to turn or to shift or maybe go up or down, think about where you want to end up with yourself, with where that other person, and with all the people that are in the room, and then use that as your heart to guide the conversation.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to making sure that you're coming in with the idea of I'm coming in to learn versus I'm coming in to just talk and tell people things.
It's not a contest. It's not something you're trying to win, you know? You're trying to reach a resolution.
Right. And so I think it's a good thing to sit with everyone. So as you're getting their input in the very beginning, decide on what is that goal that you want to accomplish. What is that understanding you want to leave with? Do that as one of your first things on your checklist, because like Mark had said, a lot of times, especially if it's a brainstorming session, it's very easy to get off track and then not actually accomplish what you intended to by the end of your time spent, which then could lead to people saying, you know, this wasn't a good use of my time, and I'm less likely to engage for the next time.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a group situation. You're all sitting around and brainstorming, like you said. Or it could be, you know, you trying to figure out what you're going to do with your boo or your loved ones in the weekend. And that can quickly, you know, let's figure out what we're going to do on Sunday. And that can quickly turn into, well, last Sunday we said we were going to do something. We didn't end up doing that. You know, use this as that like point of like, we need to figure out what we're going to do this Sunday. This Sunday we're going to come up with something good to do. And use that as a way to sort of lead and guide the conversation. Next, I'm showing an image. I think that this person looks like they're getting ready to be angry. So there's a moment in your conversation where you're going to notice that they say it's turning crucial, right? You start to feel it in your body. You start to see the other person. They're moving to silence, or they're avoiding, they're hiding, or maybe they're turning to violence, whether that's physically or verbally. And that's your key, that's your cue that the conversation is turning crucial. So make sure you're paying attention for that. And at that moment, go within yourself and try and slow down. It's easy to just like let things escalate and one up. But remember, you're not trying to win. You're trying to get to a resolution. So think about how you can slow the conversation down, and then you'll want to return to safety.
And something you can do to make sure you're engaged in slowing the conversation down is make sure you're listening. Be an active listener. So when the person is talking, don't pause so that you can think about, okay, what am I going to say next? And you've completely missed the point that the other person was making or the idea that the other person was contributing. You want to make sure that you listen to their words and ask them a question. Ask them a follow-up question. Something could be as simple as making sure you're engaged. Lean in. You know, your body language says a lot. Just kind of like what Marcus Robinson saying with that guy. I mean, I thought that guy looked like he's really about to smack the hell out of somebody, to be quite honest. He looked like he's gearing up, like, you're getting on my nerves. But I would say pay attention to those things from the other person, their body language, as well as what your body language is saying to the other person. And just by how you sit, or how you're holding your face, like where you're looking, that can also be sending signals to your brain of like, okay, we're in a mode of listening versus being on a mode of defense, and so you've just kind of tuned the other person out.
Sometimes, like, this is when you can just turn into a yelling match, and that's definitely not what you want. And I know none of us are perfect, and, like, that can happen. But if you know in the back of your mind that there are different ways to resolve a matter, then you can sort of slow down and move back into, like, a calm manner. And you might need to take, you know, if it does get to that level, because I'm saying, like, sometimes it definitely can. If it does, be okay with, you know, you're slowing down is stepping out of the room for 5 minutes, right, and returning back, right? Like, yeah, that's totally cool, because we know that on more than one occasion, like, we've seen people in that situation, we've been involved in a situation like that. I mean, we're not perfect. We're all here practicing this together. And so it's okay to take that 5 minute break. Like, when you feel on a scale of 0 to 100, if you're in that 25 to 50 zone and you're about to break out of it, like, go take a 5 minute walk. Yeah. You know, you want to be that 0 to 25 zone the whole way through.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm that person that's like goes 0 to 100. Like, I'm so hot-blooded. As soon as I turn that corner, all of a sudden my voice is raised and I'm just yelling and I'm really passionate. And I've come to learn over the past few years, like, not everybody can function that way. I come from a household where that's just how we communicate. We're like a household of like passionate women, and if we're getting like hyped up, like our voices are raised, like gestures are like flying, like hands are flying. But when I actually moved in with my boyfriend, he's quite opposite. So he really is the person that he needs you to talk nice and calm and even. He can have confrontation, but as soon as you raise your voice, it shuts him down. And so I had to learn over the years to check myself before I went into a conversation with him about something that could be bothering me and, like, triggering me, because I needed to communicate in a way that he could actually hear me and understand if we were going to resolve anything. So I've gotten a lot better, but there are still the times where I start escalating a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'm yelling again. And so I've learned if I hear myself doing that, then I'm like, okay, I need to go somewhere. And like, whether it's just like a different room, basically it's like I just go into our bedroom and just maybe watch like Gilmore Girls, an episode of that, chill out and really reflect on what we were even discussing, reflect on what he said, reflect on what I was saying. Were we having two different conversations because we were having a tough time actually listening to what the other person was saying? And if that was happening, like, identify that. And then once I'm more chilled out, come back out and be able to kind of talk through those things.
I feel like I'm similar to your boyfriend in that manner, in that, you know, if I notice, because I kind of like, I want everybody to like me, and I can be a bit of a people pleaser, so, you know, I'm not really one to yell, and I'm mostly like, okay, like, if that's what you say we gotta do, that's what we gotta do. And so, for me, it's kind of like, I'm learning to sort of, like, step up almost a little bit, and be like, you know, certainly, I'll state, like, where I'm coming from, and sort of definitely tell my story. But then, even in a calm way, I'm still working on, like, leaning in and sort of, like, challenging that. Like, you're yelling at me, I can still try and listen, and mm-hmm. I don't need to respond right away, right? Because you probably said a lot in that time when you're yelling at me. And so, you know, process that, and then be like, okay, like, I can see this, I can totally, you know, like, see your perspective on that, and I didn't realize that at the time. And then, but like this one thing, like, this just isn't fair. XYZ isn't fair. Yeah. Like, this is my point of view, and like, kind of being okay to push back and like, not yelling, but not being a total pushover either, right?
Like, we're like advocating for yourself in the moment of saying, I can hear what you're saying, but I need you to hear also what I'm saying as well.
Yeah, it's easy to take, like, the yeller's point of view here, and what if you're that underling? Like, you're the person that does move to silence, and the book actually goes through a whole bunch of different, like, types of silence, too, and, like, what those can mean. So what if you are one of those people that sort of, like, does one of those other things? Well, you still need to figure out your way to engage in the conversation.
Yeah, that's so true. When I took a course at Penn, they called it like waving the white flag, where it's almost like you're engaged in like this heated moment. Sometimes it involves yelling. Sometimes it's just you feel the tension and there doesn't seem to be a connection being made. So you just kind of resolve to be like, well, forget it. Like, let me just back off. I'm going to kind of retreat and keep all of my thoughts to myself, which also isn't helpful either. But when you were talking about kind of your own struggle and how you find your voice in a crucial conversation, that had triggered a train of thought about when you're trying to resolve something between two people that communicate very differently, you also have to be so self-aware of, like, how that other person is feeling. And just take a breath for yourself and actually listen. So one of those things could be in trying to take that moment. Instead of walking out of the room, maybe it's just you take, like, 5 big breaths together and then try to start over.
I've definitely felt myself in that situation. Like, I'll say something and and then somebody else will say, you know, what they say, or I can tell it eats at them for a little while. And then they'll say, well, this is, you know, when you said that, like, this is how I took that.
Right.
Right? And it's not until I start listening to them that I'm like, oh, my God, like, I had no idea that somebody could even take this that way. And, I mean, that might be I don't really act in an ill-intentional way.
Right.
So if you get, when you get to know me, you'll definitely know that, like, I have such a big and good heart, but that doesn't mean I see everything. So for me, it's like, okay, well, this person's probably thinking this. Now I know. I'm glad that, you know, we went there so they could tell me, and now we can move from there.
Right. And just like what you were saying, taking it back to, like, first grade. I remember being in first grade and I statements. Like, I feel X, Y, and Z when you do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back to that basic level. That's something actually I've been trying to implement, is being very clear about talking about how the situation is making me feel, because that's what's driving the almost like emotional outburst, is because instead of talking about this is just hurting my feelings, instead of just saying that, like, I just get angry, and then it kind of spirals into something else that's not very productive. So calmly being able to say, you know, when you say these things to me or you do this particular action, it hurts my feelings, or that makes me upset because, and I think being so simple with it, it makes it a lot easier for the other person to hear or understand.
Yeah, you gotta lean into those emotions. I feel like it's unfair to say, like, you made me feel this way, because that's false. Like, I made myself feel a certain way is the only way it can be. Like, that other person didn't, but what happens is I make myself feel a certain way because in my head, when you say something, even if it's just, it's like that quick, right? Like, it's, I've told myself a story of, oh, this has happened before, this is how this is going down, like, so you need to feel this way. And it's crucial, it's very important for you in that moment to step into that and, like, own it and say, okay, I'm telling myself this story in my head, that's why I'm feeling this way. Is that actually what they say and what they're doing? So
I think that's a huge point that you just made about what a person's actually saying compared to what the narrative is that you've made up.
It happens quite often. And
yeah,
because you hear something and, yeah, I mean, just like I said, and you attach this story to it, and now there's all these years of that story that have played out in your head, and now you're associating it with another person, especially if it's a relationship. It's unfair for both parties to, like, attach those previous relationships to the current one.
Yeah.
But, like, that can easily happen. And by owning, like, your own emotions and feelings, like, you can sort of, you can then step back.
Yeah. It's doing that self-check again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you're... So moving with the book. So you have somebody that's starting to get kind of angry and you're yelling. And so you need to create a safety net. You need to give them... you need to return to your North Star and say that there is an outcome that we want to achieve. We need to find mutual purpose and mutual respect for one another. And one way to do that is to say something along the lines of, you know, I didn't mean for you to think something, you know, I didn't mean to make you think a certain way, but I do want to have this conversation, or I do want to, right? Like, let's go back to the Sunday example. I don't want you to think that I don't want to hang out on Sunday. I definitely do want to do that. But, like, there is this other thing that's bothering me. And then you can move into the conversation through mutual respect and through mutual purpose of solving that problem.
Right. And I think also on the other end of kind of pushing others to have these conversations, like you said, so certain behaviors don't carry through to other situations. Like, it could be, for example, bringing up the Me Too movement. Thinking about how maybe there have been so many people that had not spoken out at first because they're like, is this behavior normal? Or is this something that I just have to endure in order to move forward? They may not have spoken up. But if you might have had enough people reject that kind of behavior or reject that kind of interaction, you know, that's sending a signal to the person of, like, this isn't accepted, and hopefully the person would get the hint. They're not so unemotionally intelligent that they would stop, you know, conducting themselves in that way.
I can't imagine being in one of those situations. Sorry, I'm kind of like speechless over here. Like, I don't even know what to say. I don't feel like I really have a right to speak about this. I totally agree with what you say, though.
And that doesn't even have to necessarily be something as us as critical as sexual harassment. That could even be that the way someone speaks to someone else is super condescending. Like, you're a higher up, and how you speak to those that are working for you, and it shuts them down in a way that they're not able to produce their best work. If enough people in the workplace speak up and say, you know, that's not the way for me to produce my best work, because you're not motivating me in how you speak with me, that person may start to understand that, you know, in order to get some things done, they need to change how they talk to others.
I feel like when you're in that situation, you know, it's, I'm thinking about like telling your story and telling your side of things.
Wait, repeat that one more time.
I was thinking about like how you need to speak up in those situations and like explain to people where you're coming from.
Oh yeah, like including something that's very personal versus it being an explanation that's abstract, you mean?
Yeah.
So, like, this is exactly how it's affecting me and my work.
Mm-hmm.
And gotcha. Yeah, I think it's super important, especially just going back to even what we talked about with setting goals. If your goal in this conversation is set, you guys both know what it is, you're, in a way, setting these smaller checkpoints along the way in order to accomplish that goal.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. What?
I'm just buzzing from this Cardi B.
I love the Cardi B.
Uh-huh. We're talking about pop shop things.
Yeah. By the way, delicious. Go down to the pop shop. Tell them where to find you.
Pop on by 348 North Queen Street. That's what this episode's brought to you by.
Love it.
Some refreshing sodas.
Okay, jumping back into it.
When you're thinking about your emotions and you know, like I said, you're causing your own emotions, think about that story and where it comes from and how you got to that point and why you're feeling hurt. And so the book tells you, gives you an acronym called STATE. So STATE says to share your facts, tell your story, ask others for their own paths, talk tentatively, and then encourage testing so that you can decide how to act. So share your facts. Tell people where you're coming from. You know, I came to this conclusion, X, Y, and Z happened. I came to this conclusion because before when X, Y, and Z happened, or in previous times, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Ask others for their path. How do they arrive at the decision that they made today? Don't talk tentatively. Don't jump into judgment. Don't say, you did this because, right? Don't be accusatory. Speak only about your facts. And then encourage different solutions to find a resolution to what you're talking about.
And I think a way to do that is just ask why. Go back to when you were like 4 years old and you asked why about everything. Because that's going to reveal a lot of the things that maybe you're wondering, or it's going to expel a lot of the assumptions that you've already made. I think it's really difficult not to go into things without your own assumptions because of your own personal past, of your own personal experiences, which I think that's why it's crucial to share, like you said, share your story and the reason why it's impacted you in the way it has, and how that's been able to shape the choices that you make or the way you react. And then I would say really listen to the other person and their whys and their stories, because what it's gonna end up doing is building empathy honestly, for the both of you, because it's a way to look at one situation from all these different points of views. And then not only will you be able to use what you've learned in the moment to hopefully move closer towards a resolution or build or completely resolve the issue, but that'll be more things that you take along with you. So when you start to encounter others that might have different opinions or different takes on things, then you have a broader perspective of maybe where they could be coming from. But even again, once you encounter that again, don't make those assumptions, because you never know someone's story. So ask why.
I love that. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Great. Oh my god.
Ultimately, I think what you're trying to do is this is like we said at the beginning, it's very important for you to take this step, and it's very easy for you to fall into silence or not want to take this step. So just even thinking about this topic or listening to this episode or writing down one or two of these tools is going to help you exponentially to elevate your conversations.
Yeah. So do you want to wrap up with the mentor moment of the week?
Mentor moment of the week. Well, I'll tell you, I have I'd say what could have turned into a crucial conversation.
Ooh, let's hear it.
So at the shop, so we're switching from Mondays to Sundays being open, and gave the staff, hopefully this isn't too personal, I don't think it is, gave the staff their hours and got a message like, hey, you know, Sunday's just not gonna work for me. And instead of jumping to judgment, you know, Sophie and I were like, okay, like we'll have a conversation with you about Sunday. And it very easily could have been like, listen, like I'm not doing Sundays. I didn't sign up to work all my weekends and give those away, but it didn't. And I think that's by listening to the other person's point of view, by telling the story about why they're even working Sundays in the first place, and then listening about why they don't want to do that. And it can, you know, lead to like a more prosperous relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome. That's some nice managing, Mark, because you could have been like, what the hell?
I am not going to make any excuses and say that I'm perfect at this. There's a line in the book that's like something along the lines of practicing this isn't good enough. Like, perfect practice is what you need when it comes to crucial conversations, and they really try and give you the tools to do that. And I know I'm not perfect, but that's not going to prevent me from practicing.
Well, that's the only way that you're going to get towards perfection.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you to join this journey with me.
Yeah. I would say that my mentor moment of the week, well, it's kind of a little bit last week, but we didn't share last week.
No.
So at my new job, I recently was appointed co-chair, being ninth grade dean. And this has given me an opportunity to really get to know the students, who they are, as people, before I start looking into their academics. Because that's just, like we said, when you have those crucial conversations of, if there's a student that I'm like, what is going on with your grades? Or like, what is going on with your missing work or whatnot like that? Knowing them as people, that's going to really inform how I kind of take on that conversation and guide myself and the student through that conversation. And oftentimes, whenever I work with students, like say they're not doing their best, I always try to ask a lot of questions versus just saying, you're not doing X, Y, and Z. Because it could be like they babysit their kid sister every day until like 11 at night, and it makes it really difficult for them to get their homework done and things like that. So getting down to the bottom of like who they are, what their day-to-day looks like, is actually going to help me be more informed about how to partner with them in shaping their academic journey. And I had a couple of really great conversations. I haven't gotten through all the students. We're doing one-on-one convos with them. And I just like learned so much, and I even gave myself homework. So I asked them, what is your spirit animal? And then I asked, what TV show embodies like who you are? And just from those two questions, I actually learned a lot. So I spent 2 days binge watching The Good Place.
The Good Place. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my kind of homework.
Well, I brought in some little clappers, and for ninth grade, Co-Chair Dean, is that what you said?
Woo!
A round of applause.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. We're so corny.
Uh-huh.
But on that note, we're going to wrap up today. Please, make sure to share it with your friends. Share it with your neighbor.
Give us a like on Facebook. Follow TCP Network.
Yeah, and pop on down to the Pop Shop.
We hope to see you guys soon.
All right.
Till next time.